We have talked in the past about the 10 disciplines of apologetics. Tonight is going to be a little bit of an unusual time. You're going to do some of the work tonight in this, and so, but just bear with me as we open up a little bit here. We're to be ready to do what according to the Word of God? Give an answer, okay? And that answer is a defense or a reasoned response of the hope that lies within us. Is faith a blind leap? Yes or no? No. Faith makes logical sense in a lot of ways. And it's not that there's not things there. We just haven't seen the evidence, if you will, according to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. All right, anybody not have one of those handouts yet? Okay, some guys there. We have a few extras too. If some of you, if more than one in the family would like a copy, we got a few extras in there. We can give those out. Anybody like one that didn't get one? We have some extras and we can use those until they run out. Okay. Well, we've kind of, over the number of weeks, tried to give you a foundation. You girls want some in the back there? No? Yes? A few more all the way back there, Ethan. There you go. Tried to lay a little bit of a foundation for you on apologetics. We, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the types of apologetics. Can someone give me, there were three types of apologetics. Can you give me what those were? Yes. Okay, evidential apologetics was one of them. Presuppositional apologetics. Okay, traditional apologetics. So those three types that we talked about and gave you some examples of those and different things such as that. So tonight, what I'd like for us to do is just quickly, though you've already seen some of this, give you brief definitions and where it's found in the Word of God, and then we're going to break up into groups and let you do a little bit of work about these 10 things. These 10 areas are really important that we understand them, what they mean, and why it helps us form a biblical worldview. And we remember we talked about a number of weeks ago that there were people who claim to be Christians but don't have a biblical worldview. They're not responding biblically to issues. Now, many of them are responding as if they don't know Christ as their Savior at all, and that's unfortunate. So let's look at these things just quickly tonight. The explanation, each one of them, theology is the study of the existence of God, His attributes, His nature. We talked about the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth His handiwork. And then philosophy is the attempt to discover an explanation for existence. Why am I here? What am I doing? How long am I going to be here? What's my purpose? You know, those kinds of things. And we typically think of the word philosophy and we get real negative vibes, right? Ooh, nah. But philosophy is a legitimate thing. It's just the world has distorted it a lot. Biology, the study of the origin and development of living organisms. So how did that happen? Did God create it or did some explosion happen or did this or that? Brother Kevin this morning was talking about in our men's Sunday school class about the environmentalists who are, you know, climate change and all this kind of stuff, and they're worried we're going to use the Earth's resources. Well, if they believe in evolution, isn't the world replacing itself anyway? Isn't it getting better and better, and everything should be evolving, and so we shouldn't be depleted of resources? We already have more in abundance because it continues to evolve, right? That makes sense to me if that's what you believe about evolution, but of course, that's not really true. Psychology. The study of the soul, the mind, and the spirit. And we too kind of, ooh, be careful of that. But there is some legitimacy to it. Ethics, the study of what is right and wrong behavior. What is right for us to do? And that goes back to our rule or standard of law. We talked a number of weeks ago too about those meta-narratives, the story within a story that they've created to try to make that their truth. And that's the way they function then. And we've watched even this week as the media has created lies. That's the narrative that they're trying to espouse. And, of course, they have a large following with that. We look at law, the study of the basic principles of nature and human conduct. Why do we have certain laws? Why is it that you can go in some countries and it doesn't matter? Those laws are pretty consistent. Well, we talked again 2 weeks ago that the law of God is written on their hearts. That's why we have some specific things. Politics, the art of governing a city or state or a nation. How does that happen? Once again, we are in a nation today that has just an onslaught on the fact that we're not a godly nation. They try to claim, hey, look, the men of our founding fathers were not godly men. They just came up with a great constitution. You cannot be honest and say that. Our founding documents are loaded with knowledge that God was the one that was superintending these events. Prayer meetings were held for sometimes days before they ever sat down to write it. Now, I'm not saying every one of them were Baptists, nor am I saying every one of them were saved. But were they being guided by biblical principles? There is no question about that. Unless, of course, you're going to be a revisionist, rewrite history, which many of them are trying to do today. Economics, the management of resources. We obviously have no clue about that in this country today. We're managing tomorrow's resources for them. And then history, the study of the past and the impact on the present and the future. So that leads us to some pretty significant questions. Theology, what about God? Is he here? And if he's so, what does he govern for us? Philosophy, what is real? What's real, what's not real? Biology, what about life? How did he get here? What about human nature, psychology? What is it about people that make them act and move the way they're supposed to? Ethics, what's right? Is it okay for me to do this and is it not okay to do this and so forth? Sociology, what about society? How do we react with that? Law, what makes the rules? Politics, what about the government? What role does it play? Economics, what about money? And history, what about the past? And then we have the biblical truths that we start with on those things. And each one of them is listed there in the book of Genesis. Now, in the beginning, God, Genesis 1:1. God doesn't seek to prove his existence. He starts with a presupposition that he was always here. And that's important for us. He created the heavens and the earth. That's both philosophy. God created the heavens and earth, and theology, and somewhat biology, and we could go on and on with it. Man became a living soul, a living being, psychology. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that's ethics. That is, there is a right and there is a wrong. Adam and Eve only had one rule, one thing they could not do, and they couldn't obey it. I love it when people today say, the problem with society is we have too many rules. That's not the problem of society. They only had one, and they couldn't obey it. And that goes to law and ethics. The Lord commanded the man from the tree, you must not eat it. And that was what was right and wrong. That was the law that was there. In 2:24, this is why a man leaves his father and his father and mother and clings unto his wife. What about society? How does society function? That's important in the day and age in which we're dealing with today. History we find in Bible. This is the account of Noah and his family and the genealogies. And I talked a little bit about that this morning, but those are important because it's history. The New Testament tells us that we look at the Old Testament as part of our learning. We learn from that. That's what history will teach us. At least it should. Politics, whosoever sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Human government was instituted very early on in the book of Genesis. And then Joseph's brothers, 10 brothers went down to Egypt to buy grain and the economy that was taking place there and how Joseph had set money aside, grain aside, and they needed to come and buy it. And eventually he owned everything. That's all about the economics that takes place there. So here is your task tonight, and I'll tell you what groups you're going to be in. I want you to look at Acts 17, 16 through 32. Acts 17, 16 through 32, and you're going to see how each of these things played out in the story of Mars Hill. Okay? Now, Paul doesn't use all of them. Some of them are just there. But I can tell you all 10 of them are there. All right, so you as a group are going to go in and look at those how they were used, what impact they had on that particular witnessing opportunity for Paul, how Paul dealt with it. All right, and you all have leaders, and they're all aware of this. So here's the groups that you're going in, and I'd like for you to go as quick as you can, all right? The rest of us are here, and if you guys would move to the center, if you could, please. And Brother Bob is going to come and lead this. Brother Bob, it'd probably be better if you were here. He is going to take over this. So if you can kind of move to the center here so that we can discuss this, that would be tremendous, okay?
All right, if you would get your Bibles open to Acts 17. I just found out what the assignment was, too, so if you're expecting answers, no. Okay, that's what you're here for. You're part of this, right, Pastor? Okay. Oh, good. Wonderful. All right, and I need someone. Now, we're looking to get as many, as far as we can on this, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Could I get a copy of the handout? Well, I shared it with my wife. That was pretty rude. All right. And we're going to start with theology. So let's take a minute and everybody just read through the passage before we go too far. Read through it with the thoughts in mind of some of the things we're going to be talking about. Theology, philosophy, biology, psychology, ethics. I could for you. I would for you. How's that? All right, now that I see who asked that question. Acts 17, verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say? Others some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else, but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. They should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Forasmuch then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. But the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. When they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, We will hear thee again of this matter. All right. I would like to start at the top, if I could, and just ask the question, where in here can we find, what can we find about God? What did we find in this passage about God? Did we find theology that we're looking for?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What about theology do we find in this passage? And I am going to try to, well, honey, can you take some notes? Are we going to compare these notes? Or just?
Yes, you're going to give them to the people.
All right. All right. Would you take notes? I know I'm asking a lot. Yes, you have to. Okay, you'd be happy to, too. Thank you. All right. All right. We'll try to keep it moving, all right? Yes, what do we find about God? Can you give me a verse when you say that? Verse 24, so everybody can see there. He is a creator. Dale? Right. Resurrection, and you all can help me here. I know, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection in verse 18. So I'd say that would be two answers there, actually, the resurrection and Jesus, yes. God is self-sufficient. So, verse 25. And once again, affirms the creation. Yes. Yep. All right. Verse 26. Creator. All right. Where do you want to go with this?
Basically, I'd like you to give me one verse for every category, but you can give me more.
All right. Yes. Let's one verse per category, but these are good, and we covered several parts of God there. His attributes are coming up. His existence. Let's go to philosophy. And this on my sheet says the attempt to discover an explanation for existence. So why do we exist? What's real? Can you find something there that would give an answer? An apologetic. Pastor, you can play. Yes, Naomi? I'd say that's a really good verse. I like verse 28 a lot. For in him we live and move and have our being. So basically, there is no reason for existence outside of God, according to that verse, right? Okay. Pastor's not playing, but what about verse 18? I heard a voice in the background there.
You want to?
Right. The word philosopher is actually mentioned in verse 18. So people were trying to determine their philosophy up here on. Exactly. Good. All right. Very good. Diane, how you doing, hon? You're doing good. All right. Biology. Life. The origin. Is there anything here that mentions origins? I think you've already hit it a couple of times, but Connie? All right, verse 25, he giveth to all life and breath in all things. So outside of God, you got to come up with another idea of origins if you're going to debate with Paul, right? All right, let's do psychology. Do you see anything in this passage that talks about human nature? The soul, the mind, and the spirit is the explanation given on our sheet. What about human nature? That's good. Verse 16 mentions Paul's spirit, and it also talks about what they were given to. Yes, Mike? Speak right up. Yep.
Verse 18 talks about as well, where it says that the corpus of the battle of saints, something that would be taken out of the spiritual being, but
they're talking about. Right. Okay. And. Okay, anything else on psychology? I don't want to. You're going to have to really help me here. Speak right up. I know what verse we're on. Go. Okay. So their mind was to turn God like them, right? Or something they could make or control. Is that not the psychology of the world today? I mean, that is exactly what we're up against. People don't want to admit there's a God, so they try to create their own. All right, I won't preach. We'll just keep going. Ethics is a study of right and wrong. And so what's right? Or maybe what's wrong? But do you see ethics in this passage? Dale?
They had enough knowledge that they didn't know about, they wanted
Okay, well, that's good. I hadn't. Can I just get that in verse 23? And they were so concerned about pleasing the gods, really, or not missing something, that they had an anonymous god, is the way it really was. Mike, you seem very familiar with this. Do you carry a rabbit's foot? No, okay. Yes. No, verse 21, they're looking for some new thing. It tells you they're not so sure about their ethics, doesn't it? And they might listen. And by the way, that's what we're hoping people do when we give them the truth. Okay? All right. Sociology, the study of social institutions in society. So the question that's on the sheet here is, what about society? Can you find sociology in this? The social institutions in society. And I think we probably touched on them already to some degree, so don't be afraid to repeat a verse or a statement. But there could be others. Naomi? Within what they're talking about there, yes. So in a general sense, not maybe a specific verse, but there was several groups of training, or at least there was debates going on. They weren't all on one page. Mm-hmm. Right, that verse is the one she's going from. But I'm saying this whole thing, I think it shows sociology, yes. Different trains of thought and philosophy. So they weren't all on one thing. Yes. 22. Go. There were two. It just means very superstitious. They were very superstitious, weren't they? Mm-hmm. Yes. So they were a superstitious society. I think we'd all agree with that, right? Okay, Di? All right. That was verse 22 on that one. Don? Exactly. All right, let's go on to the law. And this is coming down to really rules and human conduct and who decides what. Who has to do what? Mary? Whoa. Well, that just kind of nails that one, doesn't it? Good. Verse 31. And Paul says, God makes the laws. Now, just out of playing the devil's advocate, do you think they felt God made the laws? I mean, it's obvious. So who made the laws for them? Don? Okay, he's telling them to repent, and he looked at their time, and what did it say in the first part of that verse? He looked at it as a time of ignorance, did he not? They were trying to please, I guess, many gods, and you just wonder who made the rules for these gods, since they probably didn't make them for themselves. It's just kind of an interesting thing that comes to my mind as I'm listening to you all. Let's go to politics. This is about government. And we're not going to go too far here, so don't get carried away with comparisons. But this is governing a nation, or city, state. Is there anything in here about politics? I've got to repeat that. She said it's political because we'll hear this again. We'll just have another meeting. But we'll, like Pastor said, we'll just push off all this debt to and economics to our children and grandchildren and even more now. Okay. Anything else on politics there you can find? Naomi? Good. Verse 26, the nations and the bounds of their habitation. All right. Good. All right, let's go on quickly to economics. And this is the management of resources. What about money? Is there money mentioned here or resources? Oh, Christy, I'm sorry. She's, verse 21, she said they just sat around and talked. They didn't work. No producers. Sounds like all administration. Okay. All right. Can you see anything else there that would be political? It says about God's political system, right? And he's not a Lord of heaven and earth. He's not bound. Yeah, I'm struggling a little on that one, Pastor. I'll just be honest with you. The economics. We're on economics. I called it political, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about verse 29?
29. Yeah. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device.
There's money.
Yeah, it could be the idols. I don't know. All right. We're going to give you all a pass on that one. History. This is what about the past? The study of the past and the impact on the present and the future. History. What do you see about history in this passage? Did you raise your hand, Dale? No? Okay. All right. I think that's what he said was in verse 22. If you, Paul could observe that they were superstitious by looking at what they had done in the past, right? They've got this whole area set up. So, and I wanted to say I don't see that hand, but that's not it. Okay. All right. All right. Don? And looking back at their history, from God's standpoint, it was an ignorant history. Paul's saying, hey, God winked at that. Now he's going to give you the truth. All right? Amen. Hey, good job. You brought it right down to the wire, but you brought it down. That was good.
Okay, so what I'd like for you to do is as we talk about this, I'm going to give you opportunities, those of you that led those different discussions. If you come up with something different than the first group came up with, then we'd like for you to come and let's talk about it a little bit and see how we're headed with this. And then we'll fill in. If you want to fill in some verses, that's fine. I'll give you some that I had. And as I've already mentioned, there were some that I didn't get that I overheard mentioning, which was really, really good. So let's start with Pastor Caleb's group. With theology, what were some verses, Pastor Caleb, if you'd come here, what were some verses that you guys came up with about theology?
That's better. All right, we had verse 18, 23, and 29.
Okay, explain 18 to us.
18, they're talking about gods in general. They say he seems to be a setter forth of strange gods, and also referring to Jesus.
Okay.
In verse 23... it's the one that refers to the unknown God and their worship. So he's going to tell them about the true God.
Okay.
And in verse 29, it says that God is not an idol. He's not made of gold, silver, or stone.
Okay. So we see here, and you probably just want to sit on that front row because you'll be back up here. So we see here, it's not just the right view of God, but the wrong views of God. How people have gauged their theology and why Paul was stirred in his spirit. Why? Because the city was wholly given to idolatry. By the way, that's their theology. Okay? Any other one of the groups have a different set of verses or maybe some different reasons? Anybody of the other four or the three? Brother Doug, why don't you come on up here? Bring your stuff because you'll need to stay anyway.
Emily, you want to come up with me? Emily was my secretary, but I have another sheet. One that we saw was verse 24, where God is the creator.
Okay.
And also in verse 30, where it says he commandeth every man to repent, he is also the judge.
Okay, good. Good, good. Anybody else with any different verses? I know the group that was in here mentioned creator too. I didn't list that one here because I listed it under biology a little bit later on. You guys come on up here, Brother Bob.
In verse 25, it indicates that God is self-sufficient.
Okay. So he is neither is worshipped with man's hands as though he needed anything. That tells us something about our God there. Okay? Good. Brother Steve, why don't you start off with philosophy here, what your class discussed, and then we'll go from there.
He said I wouldn't have to do much. He didn't tell me I'd have to stand up in front of people and talk. Okay, philosophy. Pastor Ogle came in and corrected us because I said, well, he wanted us to talk about just his discourse to the Athenians. So we initially excluded verses 16 through 21, but then we added verse 18 because he was meeting with certain philosophers of the Epicureans and Stoics. So he was right there in the midst of their philosophical discussion and listening. And then in verse 28, some of the class helped me because they came up with a lot of these things. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your poets have said. Good. So it's a philosophy of living.
Okay, good. Anybody else of the other three men have anything different there that you want to add to it? Okay. It does in verse 28, says, in him we live and move and have our being. Certain also our own poets have said. That's an interesting word about that poets there too, but... Now, jumping back to verse 18, then certain philosophers of the Epicureans. What did the Epicureans believe? Ethan?
That life was to be lived just for the sake of pleasure.
Okay, pleasure and happiness. That was what life was all about. It didn't matter about anything else. That's their philosophy of living, and that's important. And what about the Stoics? What did they believe? Anybody know that? Yes? Okay, that's true. They were. There was a great purpose in the direct in history. They were to deny themselves. That was one of the aspects. Someone else have anything about them? They were pantheistic, by the way. God is in everything. And so that's all part of their philosophy. Yes, sir?
Dale pointed out they did not have Krispy Kreme, so how could they possibly enjoy life?
That's true. Pleasure would have been extremely limited without Krispy Kreme. I agree. Okay. Biology. Brother Bob, why don't you start out this section on biology and tell us what your group found.
In biology, we went to verse 25. Neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing giveth to all life and breath and all things. And so, once again, life and breath and all things.
Okay. I included verse 24 in that particular one because God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth. So that deals with that biology. Any other groups have anything different there? But Steve, come on.
We added verse 26 because hath made all nations of one blood.
Okay.
And he gets into the biology of man and how God was behind it.
Yeah. Okay. We'll deal with that verse again later. Hopefully you picked it out for another section as well. Okay. Brother Doug, why don't you lead us off with psychology?
With psychology, one of the verses we used was verse 22, mm-hmm. where it says that he sees that they are superstitious, or the idea is too religious.
Mm-hmm.
And another one we used was verse 23, where it talks about to the unknown God. So Therefore, they're trying to worship something that they don't understand.
Okay, good. Anybody have anything to add to that particular section? Okay.
Well, the explanation of psychology being the study of the soul, mind, and spirit, we added verses 28 and 29. It says, for in him we live and move and have our being. Verse 29 says we are the offspring of God. That explains the eternal soul and things like that.
Okay, great. Excellent thoughts. Good, good. Okay, ethics. Brother Steve, why don't you start us out with ethics here?
We went with verses 30 and 31. God setting the... help me out, guys. What was the... God was a judge. I know we also used that for one of the other sections as well, but the ethics, God basically sets the standard. So verses 30 and 31.
Okay, good. I use verse 26 there. Hath made one blood all nations of men, and to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation. He kind of sets that. God's in control of some of that. That's an excellent one I hadn't thought of. Someone else want to add to that particular section, ethics? Any of the other three groups? Okay. All right, Pastor Caleb, why don't you start out with sociology?
For sociology, we had verse 26, that he hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth. As far as racism and stuff like that goes, we're all one blood, humankind.
Good. Any of the other groups? Brother Bob, you have some verses there?
In verse 18, it talks about certain philosophers and the people encountering him. What will this babbler say? And he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And so there was a concern about pleasing God in some way in their society. I'm sorry, I said 18, yes. Okay, and then 22, it shows they're very very superstitious society.
Yep.
And then verse 23 would affirm that as well, that they were so superstitious and so worried about God and they're doing right in their society and pleasing that God that they were willing to even make a monument or an altar to an idol to an unknown God.
Okay, good. Do you have something else, Brother Steve?
In the very first verse, verse 16, one of the first things that Paul made note of was that the city as a whole was given to idolatry.
Okay.
And then in verse 21, for all the Athenians and strangers were there, spent their time in nothing else. Basically, just a condition of their society, what they spent their time doing.
Yeah. Okay. Good. All right, Brother Doug, why don't you take off on law here?
All right, the law, the study of the basic principles of human nature, or excuse me, human conduct. We have verse 31, that Jesus will be the judge. And also in verse 30, God had commanded all men to repent, because, of course, there are certain things that are right or wrong.
Okay, good. Someone else want to add to that category of their law? Super. Okay, what about politics? Brother Steve, you want to lead that one off for us?
Again, a lot of these verses hit several of the topics, but we were in verses 21 and 22. Basically, they spent their time in nothing else but to hear something. But they're all together there in the marketplace debating and hashing things out.
Okay. Someone else under the politics? Yes, Pastor Caleb.
The end of verse 26 says that God has set the bounds of their habitation, like the borders of the nations.
I use verse 26 as well, the nations itself, how that is used in there. So, good. Brother Bob, why don't you tackle economics here for us?
This is kind of a weak one.
Yeah, this was a weak one, but that's okay.
Yeah, and since my wife took notes and I have a blank up here, but since I never draw a blank, let's go to, let's go to 29, and for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And actually this came from a little voice behind me, and it looked a lot like Pastor when I look back. And of course it refers to the resources they had.
Right, and it's a little difficult to pull out economics out of this, but the point is they were using their gold and silver to make idols, therefore they didn't have their gold and silver to use on something else. So how everything is tied together, for instance, in the country of India, Brother Tim will know this, their idol worship is impacting their starvation. They don't eat their cattle, and they have enough grain to feed the world, by the way, but they feed it to their cattle instead of feeding it to their people. There's all of that's having an impact on it there. So economics, anyone have to add anything else, Brother Doug?
One other thing is right at the start of the passage in verse 17, therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market.
Okay,
daily. Good. He actually went to where they were doing business.
All right, that's a good one. Market. I hadn't thought about that one. That's an excellent one. Okay. And who would like to volunteer to tackle history? Anybody? You four? Brother Steve, come on up.
Several different verses. He hit past, present, and future. In verse 18, setteth forth of strange gods. He was preaching unto them Jesus, looking back. And
yep.
In verse 24, he went back to creation.
Yep.
Talked about God creating. Verse 28, let me get there. He pointed back to their own poets, mm-hmm. quoting them out of their own history. And then in verse 31, because he hath appointed a day, he was looking forward to the future.
Yep. Excellent. You remember a number of months ago when we were looking through the book of Acts and how to witness to people, we talked about those poets and how Paul had probably knew about some of the history of that and how the guy came, remember, and talked about and put up an image to the unknown God and him the one. Paul must have known some of that history. Remember, he quotes a Cretan later on in the book of Titus. So he had some idea of the history, but you also could look at potentially psychology or sociology, some of the things that he would have been bound to know about that. Anyone else want to add anything under history? Any of the other three of you? Okay. Brother Bob, you want to add something?
I was just going to say, I thought it was a good comment from one of our folks that said that as they observe their idols, you learn a lot about their history, and thus you know a lot about their future. And it's
yes.
very much what we do with religions today when we try to witness to folks.
Yeah, excellent. Great. Okay. Now, what does this do for us? How does this help us at all? You can talk to me tonight. How does this help us? Brother John. Okay. Okay. Okay, so good. His basic idea is that every word is important in a text of Scripture. Excellent. Okay? Yes, Brother Don. Okay, excellent. We have an answer to the questions that people are going to ask. And Paul demonstrated that. And it's interesting to me, you notice how many of the verses overlap each other, how they deal with multiple subjects. And I think that's important that we have that. Do you think when you read this text of Scripture that Paul had a biblical worldview? He was being impacted in every way by the Bible. And that's what he was trying to get them to see too. Were they impacted by biblical worldview? No, they had philosophies. They had all kinds of stuff going on here. And just in case we hadn't covered it all, we're going to have a God that's unknown to us. We'll worship him too to just make sure we cover all our bases, you know. And Paul was able to walk in there and be able to deal with them. When you finish the text of Scripture, Paul led some people to Christ as a result of this. Not everybody listened to him. Some made fun of him. Some said, okay, let's talk again on this matter. But some clave unto him, which is an important aspect. All right, someone else. Yes, Brother Dale.
We are accountable in every area of our lives with all these 10
Good. So Dale said we are accountable for these 10 areas and how those flow out of our life. And that's part of that whole idea of a biblical worldview. Brother Tim. Okay, so the contact points that Paul used to witness to those people, the fact that he knew some of their history, the fact that he knew some of their psychology, if you will, really helps us to understand, okay, that's what's happening with this person, and therefore I can try to be able to deal with them. Brother Richard. Great. So Paul used their words and their society and pointed them to Christ. Instead of trying to make a big deal of their idol worship, Paul took the unknown God and ran to Jesus with it. I'm going to declare that unknown God unto you. You obviously don't know about him from looking around you. Let me tell you who he is. It's Jesus. Brother Don. Okay. That's right. Great. So Paul's spirit was stirred in him. And if you look at the bigger context, Paul had basically gone there to recuperate, if you will. But boy, it just got a hold of him. And it's interesting. Therefore, he disputed. Now, as Brother Don said, he reasoned with him. He used those things because he wanted to point them to the gospel. Tremendous stuff. And that's why each of these things are really important. We think sometimes, look, if I'm going to witness to somebody politically, it really doesn't matter at all. Economics, that doesn't matter. I'm just going to witness to them. Oh, wait a minute. All that has an impact on them and where they're coming from and so forth. And the way they think, what do they believe about psychology? What do they believe about philosophy? Everyone has a philosophy of life the way they live. Everyone. You have one, whether you know it or not. You have one. You're living by it day by day. And so this is really important. What we ultimately want to do is we're going to take each one of these 10 items and walk through them and get a biblical worldview. Some of them will be a little easier than others. Now, for instance, you are to have a pretty good grasp on theology. Okay. But it's important that we do have a grasp of that. But some of the others we want to work through. And we're going to try to cover one a night, so that'll tell you we got at least 10 more weeks, but there's a couple other things we'd like to deal with as well, and then it'll be a couple of weeks before we even get back into this. But I hope this has been helpful to you to see the value and why we need to develop a biblical worldview. So when someone challenges us, let me just give you a quick example, and I know we got to hurry tonight. But when someone challenges on a particular area, there's a number of acquaintances. I'm not going to necessarily call them friends, but they're acquaintances out there. And they're basically trying to promote the idea that any true Christian should be a socialist. Okay? You know what socialism is? you don't want that, I can tell you, but these are, from a lot of different standpoints, some fairly decent guys. And it's like, no, number one, you're not really twisting scripture and so forth. So it's important even from a political standpoint to know, hey, this is why we believe this. And their idea is that Jesus intended to meet people's physical needs. And so therefore, we are to be socialist institutions. You understand the major difference of that is socialism takes from you and gives to the poor. Jesus wanted us to voluntarily take care of people. There's a big difference in those two. You guys can shut this off as you want to. Just as an example for you, and I'm not going to get into the politics of it, but I did a little bit of research just out of pure curiosity on Bernie Sanders, who is running for the Democratic nomination, and he is an avowed socialist. He believes unequivocally to be in a socialism. Everybody ought to be equal in their income. Do you know how much of Bernie Sanders' income he gives to any 501c3 organization at all? Less than 5%. So he's not really a socialist himself. He believes in taking your money and giving it to somebody else, but he didn't believe in taking his money and giving it to someone else, right? Because he could take his, he claims he only makes $260,000 a year. But if he took his $260,000 a year and divided it in half, had $130,000, took six couples and gave them $20,000 a year and raised their income, how many of you could use $20,000 a year to help you? Amen. See? then that'd be great. But Bernie Sanders doesn't do that. So he's not really a socialist either. This is not a political speech, but I don't think there's any question about whether or not we would endorse Bernie Sanders or not. I'm just giving you as an example. And even football players and people like that, and they're like, you know, man, this guy's such a giver, and you figure out he gave 1.2% of his income. Like, yeah, I mean, you can give $10,000 when you're making $100 million. $10,000 is really not that significant. many of you give way above that, percentage-wise. So anyway, that's just one of example. We'll get into some more. Yeah, thank you for helping tonight. I wanted to get you interactive because I think it'll help you to remember some of these things. Brother Steve, why don't we just sing a verse, maybe just even a chorus of something.